Well, hey everybody, welcome to Corinth in Your Car. This is Adam speaking along here with Josh. Our good friend Luke is under the weather, and so he will not be joining us today for episode number 26. I think that's actually how old Luke is. Isn't he 26?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah.
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 So this is going to be fun. It'll be different. My first time getting to play point guard in this, and so I'm actually having to work today. So hopefully it'll be a good time. So we're recording on Thursday, the Thursday before the Super Bowl. So that's why there is just a normal level of amount of joy in my voice right now. And if we were recording
on next week, yeah,
exactly.
What happens? Yeah.
We don't know. Monday, it could be more joy or more depression. One of those two things. So, but it is Super Bowl weekend. And so Josh, the thought real quick. So if whenever you go to a Super Bowl party, I guess first, when's the last time you went to a Super Bowl party?
Ooh, the last Super Bowl party would have been the year of 2019, I guess.
19.
Is that the
that was
year the,
that
Luke
was Chiefs
was
Niners. That was Chiefs Niners.
I'm not 19. When was the year Luke was hired?
He was hired in 19. So maybe
that would have been 2020 when Chiefs Niners
technically
played.
Yeah, technically so, that was 20. Yes.
So 19, it was probably at the Anderson's house with a ton of wings. And
that was Patriots Rams 13-3 barn burner.
I remember that. Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. But it was fun. I mean, mm-hmm. kids running around everywhere and bonfire outside, fishing in the pond,
yeah.
wings inside, pizza, soda.
Yeah.
One time, a student years ago at I think it was a Super Bowl party, decided to add every form of chocolate to his hot chocolate. So it was like melted M&Ms and melted Hershey bar and everything else, and then threw it up later.
Oh.
And so that was an interesting party.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So I don't do Super Bowl parties if the Chiefs are playing.
That's right. Yeah.
Because I can't handle it. I can't
yeah.
handle it. But I think we had the small group over for a little bit of it last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year I told them if they show up at the house, the doors are going to be locked and that they just need to leave whatever food.
Yeah.
If they want to bring yeah. food, they can drop it off on the yeah. front porch and then go home. But I was thinking about it that, so, for those of you who don't know, so Josh and I, we go way back. I was Josh's youth minister all the way back in the day. Joplin, Missouri at Villa Heights Christian Church. And I don't know if you remember this, but one of the first Super Bowls whenever I was youth minister there was the Super Bowl with Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake.
I do remember that.
And we had a party.
We did, yeah.
We had a party, yeah. but yeah. we didn't show the halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did stupid games or yeah. something like that. And so this is, you know, kind of, it's not necessarily pre-internet, but it's like pre-internet,
yeah.
if you will, you know, because yeah. it was like still the dial-up kind of thing. So I had no clue that anything yeah. scandalous had taken place. And if you don't know, don't look it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, those of us are old and we remember that. And so I remember going in to chat with my senior minister, Sherm, mm-hmm. Like that Monday, you know, how'd the party go, all these other things. And he's like, so tell me about the halftime show. How did that go? And I'm like, What happened during the halftime show? I have no clue. And so it was just yeah. great to be.
That was good to not have. Yeah.
Yes.
Watching.
Yep. Yes. So that's why if you have a Super Bowl party and you are concerned, just don't show the halftime show. Just yep. everybody go fill up your plates. So,
yep.
So with that being said, so if you go to a Super Bowl party, Josh, what's your favorite food? Must have?
Wings. Wings. Always. Yeah.
Okay.
And probably some sort of cheesy dip too. Like
okay.
So
Rotel dip or buffalo
yeah.
dip
yeah.
or
buffalo or Rotel, one of the two with
okay.
tortilla chips or Fritos.
Okay. I'm excited this year. We ordered from Joe's Barbecue in Kansas City.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And so it's in my freezer and
nice.
I've got it. And
okay.
it is the Z-Man.
What's that?
So it's their most famous sandwich. And because my son likes pulled pork, we went with pulled pork instead of brisket.
Mm.
But it's pulled pork, provolone cheese, barbecue sauce, and an onion ring, a fried onion ring.
Ooh.
On a
nice.
On a Kaiser bun. And
so they shipped everything frozen, but even the Kaisers?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah, and I ordered a pound of burn-ins.
Ooh,
and
that's,
so
that's the best part.
The burn-ins, nice. If you have not had brisket yeah. burn-ins, I
that
can't tell you all.
The best part of brisket.
It is. So I'm excited about that. But so, Josh, we've been talking about this idea of how to win, and I don't think it's any secret you know, that the two of us in this room are very competitive people.
Always. Yeah.
And, we are, I would never say that I'm a former athlete.
That's, yeah, that's right.
I am still an athlete. It's just not as much as it used to be.
Yep.
And so both of us grew up, we played all kinds of sports, and you were a really good soccer player. People probably don't realize and understand how good you were. But I was just thinking back as we're talking through this idea of how to win and all these things and being competitive. So tell me, I want you to tell the people, what is the best game you ever played in and that you won, like the one?
Yeah. There was in high school, College Heights was a small school. We had 150 people in high school. But yeah,
in the high school, not in your class.
No, in the entire high school, yeah. And so we played, the way soccer divisions were was that there was only three of them. And, you know, football had like all the way to six.
Right.
Soccer only had three. And so we played against schools that were our size, but we also played against schools that were like the next size up and the next size up, because class 1, 2, and 3 played at the state level. And then you had class 4 played against each other, and then class 5. So we were playing schools that were 150 as well, but we also several levels higher. And so we got to like the state tournament my junior year. And for the first time, like somebody from Southwest Missouri got to the state tournament, and it was I believe it was Sedalia Sacred Heart, I think is the team we played.
Yeah.
Something like that. And we won in the regional tournament, and it was under the lights, and that was a big deal for us because we didn't have lights on our field, so we were always playing 4 p.m. games. But it was one of the hardest games we ever played, and I think it was like 2-1. It was close, and we won, and it was a ton of fun. We had dirt and mud and blood all over us, and it was a great victory. First time ever our school had advanced to the state tournament.
Okay.
And it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
So state tournament. So that would have put you guys what, top?
So we got to state and got fourth.
Fourth.
In the state in class 1, 2, and 3 playing together.
So, right. Yeah. That
it was fun.
That's awesome, man. That really, really is. I remember there are a couple games that I remember, but I think the best game that I ever played in and won is, so, you know, playing basketball at Ozark.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you played soccer, I don't know if you guys played. Did you guys play against Mid-America?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, that's a tough school. Like, it's so, you know, the way I always explain it, so it's like if you could put your hand down on the floor, and then if you could put your hand on the ceiling. So the ceiling is like what you watch on TV. That's Duke, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, that's Division I basketball.
Yeah.
And then your hand on...
Illustration.
Yeah. Your hand on the floor is what I played. Okay, so it's like literally the lowest level of college basketball that you can play in double CAA Division II.
Yeah.
And so, but Mid-America was a notch ahead of us, but we still played them, I think, every year. And if I remember right, they were either like the number one or number two team in the nation. Mm. And so it was my junior year, and we went down there to school in Oklahoma.
Yeah, we played them in soccer too, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
they weren't as good in soccer.
No,
comparatively.
But in basketball, we couldn't do scholarships. Mm-hmm. They could do scholarships. Mm-hmm. They just weren't called athletic scholarships. They were called leadership.
Yeah.
And just happened to be all the best leaders in their school were athletes.
Yep.
it's an amazing coincidence. But so they're like number two, number three, number one in the nation. And we fought that game so hard. And we won that game. We beat them on their own home court by like 2 points.
That's great.
And so the reason I remember that game so much is because so there's only like, you know, a handful of seconds left, and I got a steal to close the game out, and I looked up at the clock and I saw a 1 and a 1. Mm. And so I was like, oh, there's only a second left. So I just grabbed the ball
and threw it.
You know,
11 seconds.
I just threw it. I was like, I'm just going to let the clock run out, you know, so that we can win the game.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Coach Williams is just losing it on me. He's like, what are you doing? And I had misread the clock. It was 11 seconds.
Oh, man.
And so, you know, so by
you got the steal after that.
No, but we did shut them down.
Okay.
And because there's like 7 seconds left, and so we had to stop them one more time.
Wow.
But that was just so much fun, so much fun. And but here's what I find interesting about looking back on things is it's really hard for me to remember games that we won, but I can go through losses a whole lot easier. So what's the worst loss that you can remember?
Well, it's funny you say that because it's kind of along the same lines. It was a college game. Ozark was playing. God, I forget the name of the school now. But same thing. We were same division, NCAA Division II,
mm-hmm.
and we were playing an NAIA school.
Oh, okay.
So this was even higher.
Yeah, so that's like tabletop height, if anybody's wanting to know.
But they were a Christian school, and we played them. But the coach just coincidentally took a mission trip every single summer to Brazil. And so their entire soccer team was Brazilian.
Yeah.
And they were like in the middle of the U.S. Like,
yeah.
All these Brazilians, they killed us.
Yeah,
the
Brazilian national team played Ozark Christian College.
The game ended early. It was because they scored 10 and we had 0.
Mm.
So the game ended early. And I remember one 50-50 challenge. There was a ball and I was going for it. An opponent was going for it. And we hit at the same time shin guards so bad that through the shin guard, all the hair in my shin ripped out and I was bleeding through the shin.
Wow.
And it was tough and we lost real bad.
Yeah. So that's the worst loss. So like for me, and I think of like the worst loss, like one I can go to is we played Missouri Southern right there in Joplin. And so that's a NCAA Division II school.
Yeah,
so
dude, that's even higher. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're doing your hand on the floor to the ceiling, this is like, you know, about halfway up your window, you know, kind of thing. And we got beat. I think it was 133-32 or something like that.
Yep.
And so we got absolutely murdered. But that really wasn't the most difficult loss. That was the worst loss
sure,
I ever had.
Points, yeah. But
so,
hardest or most,
Yeah. So for me, and I'd love to hear from you, like the most difficult loss, one of the most difficult losses I can think of is we were playing Manhattan Christian College.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we were up by one. I can't remember what the score was. Let's just say it was 78-77.
Mm-hmm.
And there were 0.9 seconds left.
Ooh.
And so Manhattan's got the ball. They're at just on the other side of half court. So they're at three quarters of distance away from their goal. And they throw the ball in to this kid. I think his name was AJ. And he grabbed the ball, 0.9 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
He dribbled four times. Jumped, hung in the air, and shot a hanging in the air bank shot. And this was a home game.
So a clock operator.
Our clock operator, whom I know and you know, did not start the clock in time. And so it was just like, oh my goodness, we got messed over at our own home game. So that's one that's just still. Anytime I see a game that's got 0.9 seconds left, it's just like, oh, so you got time to take four dribbles, jump, hang in the air for 3 seconds and shoot the ball. You got all kinds of time.
Yeah.
So what about you? Most difficult?
Well, talking about an opportunity that you had and was not necessarily squandered, but just missed. It was at the state tournament in high school and we barely lost.
Mm-hmm.
But I still vividly remember there was an opportunity for me to score a goal. And tie it up, I think is what it would have been. And it was like right in front of the goal. The goalie was out, and all I had to do was just like let it hit me and go in. And somehow it came off my head. I think I was going for a header, and it went over the goal. And like I felt so bad. And that was, I think that was the second year in a row we had went to state. So that was my senior year. And it would have been a chance for us to go to the final and get first or second instead of, you know, we got fourth again that year.
Right.
So, but it's just sports and, it was so fun though. I mean, I love sports to this day. Like I'm always up to learning something new or still going at it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, it's fun. You know, it's like, you know, it is only sports, but it's funny that like those things just, they stay with us. I mean, that's, you know, now for you, I mean, that's coming up on 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And you can probably still remember exactly on where on your head you hit the ball and, yeah. you know, and
you remember certain goals that are scored where you, like, uh-huh. how it looked and the free kick you took and how it yeah. curved or whatever, same thing. So,
yeah. And so I think there's something interesting about us that it's a whole lot easier to focus in on those negatives and that negative creative genius, if you will, of looking at and just going, man, I remember the losses a whole lot more than I remember the wins. And so, and I think that bugs us because we really are people mm-hmm. who desire to be victorious, to win. And so that's been the idea of the series that we started, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and you were up there this Sunday talking about, you know, how we can win at home. And I just think, Josh, this is just such an important message for all of us, because no matter where you are in your age or your stage of life, this is an area where we do. It's not just like I want to win there. It's mm-hmm. there's almost like there's this. I feel like I have to win there.
It's a little weightier, it seems like.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because like with week one where we're talking about work, it's like, man, it'd be really nice to win at work.
Yeah.
But I think the home one, it just has this extra level of weight, and especially for those of our listeners who are moms and dads or grandmas and grandpas, or, you know, husbands and wives, you know, and even it's got so much weight. And so, you know, message was a Sunday. So why don't you just kind of walk us through real quick, just thinking through, you know, the message, remind us what you had to say, and just take off from there.
Sure. Yeah. How to win at home it's something near and dear to my heart, because I am in the process of raising three kids at home, and I want to have a good home life, and I was given a good home life by my parents, and so I want to kind of pass on that legacy,
mm-hmm.
and I do feel like it's so important to do what we can while we have those precious souls in mm-hmm. our home. And so, yeah, it's important. It's an important topic to talk through, because like last week you gave the pie chart of how much time we spend at work.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of similarly, something I was struck with and taught years ago with just doing youth ministry and stuff is like, just imagine you have beads in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
And if some kid shows up every single week, you have them, you know, 52 weeks of the year. Mm-hmm. Let's say they're super Christian.
Right.
And they come three times a week, and they're there for 3 hours.
Right.
That's 150 hours in a year.
Right.
But at home, I mean, there are just exponentially more hours than that. So it's important that we get it right.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all know it's behind the closed doors of homes that sometimes some of the worst pain happens, and we take some of that into our adult life, and
mm-hmm.
that influences how we parent or how we are in our marriages or things like that. So it's an important topic just to say all that. But we just went to 1 Thessalonians yesterday,
mm-hmm.
Talking about a church. These were just kind of house rules given to a church. And so it wasn't the traditional marriage or family passage, but just some principles for a church that was experiencing persecution and hardship. Some principles that Paul laid out for how to live with one another, but also how to live with God, sort of an outer life and an inner life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's important as we think about the people we're with, how to live with them, but also kind of the outer life with other people is not going to succeed if we don't get the inner life with God right as well. So that was kind of where we went yesterday. And I guess we'll talk through outline and a little bit application and kind of what was said, but yeah, it's a very important arena to win. And once again, like we've been talking about, it's not like I win, you lose. That's not the idea of the series. It's winning is when there's flourishing and thriving on all. So anyway, lots of good stuff.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that idea, you know, and as we just continue to think about what's at home and the things that are there, you know, it is just such a vital portion of our life. And I would be curious to know, you know, if we could do a pie chart, how much of that time is spent at home in that little other, you know, kind of area.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the things I think about, you know, Josh, and I know that you do as well, whenever like I'm sitting down with a new couple who's, well, they might not be a new couple, but a soon to be married couple. And one of the things I always tell them is, you know, listen, I could care less about your wedding day. I really don't care. It's going to be a fun day. It's a great party, blah, 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 blah. Here's what I care about. And then I'll always, you know, like, so how old are you? Like, well, we're 25 years old. It's like, okay. Yeah. Well, based on average life expectancy, then you can probably, you know, say safely, you're probably going to have at least 50 years together, maybe 60, maybe 70.
Yeah.
And so why on God's green earth would you spend all of your energy, all of your effort into a 4-hour long party when you have 70 years together? And then you start bringing in the idea, it's like, because you two, the marriage will only be as healthy as you two are. And it's like, and then you're going to most likely start bringing, there's a very high probability you're going to bring kids into it. And then like what you said, and how we were raised is going to really influence how we raise our kids. And so learning to deal with our issues, like one of our favorite writers, Pete Scazzaro. Yeah, I love what he says. He's like, you know, Jesus may be in my heart, but grandpa's in my bones.
Grandpa's in my bones. Yep.
And it's like, yeah, because there's so many things that, you know, are just kind of passed along to us. And so it's like, how do I unlearn these things? And how do I learn the appropriate inner life and develop that so that the outer life is where it needs to be? And I love that. Now, I think it's interesting that Paul starts with the outer and then goes backwards to inner.
Yeah.
But I think he would agree, and I know that we agree, that if you can't get the inner right, the outer will never be where it truly needs to be.
Yeah. In fact, what was said in the sermon is just kind of after going through those six, I believe there's six, kind of outer characteristics, you know, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everybody. Don't retaliate, but pursue the good for everybody. I paused and then just said, you know, compliance with outer behavior is impossible apart from personal communion with God. So like we can pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps for a while,
right?
You know, but there's going to come a point that if the inner life is not developed, then the outer life is just going to kind of fall back into the same patterns and tendencies. So yeah.
Yeah.
Inner life comes first.
Inner life has to come first. So just kind of, let's just walk through that just real quick. Let's look at those inner life ones, you know, rejoicing, praying without ceasing, giving thanks, you know, to all, or in all
circumstances, all.
And so what are some maybe simple ways that you kind of practice this in your own life? Because I think of some ways that I try to do this, but I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear from you too after this. So one thing about rejoicing always is just this reminder that so I went back to the sermon I preached around Christmas time with the whole Advent, and my topic was joy.
Okay.
And so looking back to that outline, just as joy is given. It's a gift from God. It's not something that we have to conjure up. It's a gift from God. It's connected to our salvation in Jesus. So we can have joy in spite of circumstances. It's interesting, even in the book of Thessalonians, it's written there that the it's a hard word sometimes, the Thessalonians had received, this is a quote from the book, received the word in much affliction with joy from the Holy Spirit. So even in the midst of the persecution that the church was facing, they had joy, and it came from the Holy Spirit. And so it's a gift from God, but it's also a choice we can make. Like we can choose that. So just the daily, you know, rhythm of gratitude, of looking back and what we have, even in the midst of what we might not have, we can always name things that we do have and we're grateful for. So I love that kind of rhythm to look back and be thankful. And that gives, I mean, that goes to the third one, give thanks in all circumstances, but pray continually. I think you can put little prompts in your life. So maybe it's a 3x5 card. Maybe it is, actually I set an alarm on my phone recently. at 1:14 p.m.
Okay.
And so it's a stop for me in the middle of the day. This is something I just recently started, mm-hmm. but it's a stop for me in the middle of the day, right after lunch, 10 minutes, and I kind of do an examination of the morning.
Almost a midday office.
It is, yeah. Kind of like a thing, just middle of the day, just look back, what was good, what do I need to repent of,
mm-hmm.
and what am I going to resolve to do this afternoon and evening to be fully present with my family or to experience the Holy Spirit or just to do things excellently. So that's what I've tried to do recently. And then I think the biggest thing for me in giving thanks in all circumstances is that word in.
Yeah.
What I said sermon was not necessarily for all circumstances, but in all circumstances, because there are promises. Romans 8:28, God is working all things together for good for those who love him.
Mm-hmm.
Philippians 1, that God promises to carried out into completion.
Mm-hmm.
And so giving thanks to God in the midst of those, not necessarily for those.
Yeah.
That's kind of what's helped me. So what about you?
Yeah, I think even on that last one there, and is, you know, I like the idea of in all circumstances being able to find things to give thanks for. You know, we talk about a lot, you know, just the idea of learning to flip the script and being able to see things, you know, from a different perspective. But it just kind of occurred to me as I was sitting here just thinking through this, and I don't remember the chapter, but it's around Acts 4, I think. Whenever they rejoice that mm-hmm. they were counted worthy of the sufferings.
Yep.
Is that Acts 4?
It's early Acts.
It's early Acts. Yep. And so in a sense too, it's like even next level stuff is learning to give thanks for
the circumstances. For
those circumstances. And so I just, that was just something that just kind of occurred to me there. It's like, oh, what, you know, so, okay, that, there's more area for me to grow. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, God counted me worthy of being able to suffer this.
Bear the name.
To bear the name of Christ.
Yeah, they said in Acts.
That's there. You know, the idea of gratitude, that is just one of the things to where, that is a daily, I wouldn't even call it a habit. It's just a daily rhythm of just.
Yeah, and I think many people at Corinth have now kind of learned that from you.
Yeah.
What you've passed on from wisdom from others and stuff. So that's a cool thing.
Yeah, and so it's just so important, you know, for me to be able to do that, rejoicing always. You know, I was reading Psalm 40 the other day, and it's just like, but may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you.
Yeah,
may those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, you know, the Lord is great.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just in one of the prayers is, God, would you keep that to the forefront. Help me keep that to the forefront.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just part of the inner life. And, you know, I feel like I repeat myself all the time, but it's just like nobody talks to you more than you do. Yep. And so just make sure that you are continually preaching good things to yourself. And that's one of the ways to kind of keep joy in front of you
mm-hmm.
is, wait a second, I was a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner saved by grace. My eternity is secure and sins are forgiven. God loves me. And just those reminders can kind of make our outlook a little bit different. The pray without ceasing thing to me is, I think sometimes we undercomplicate and overcomplicate prayer all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
To where I do feel like there are, and this is an area I still am growing in, there need to be those moments of, like what you just talked about, the 10 minutes of contemplation, sure. quietness, prayer, and those things. But there's also the need for arrow prayers or rocket launcher prayers.
What was funny in the study that I had for this, they said the same word that said pray continually
mm-hmm.
was a word that was used for a hacking cough.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, yeah, you have that all throughout the day. Not necessarily coughing constantly,
mm-hmm.
but it's coming up.
It's persistent.
Yeah, you know, several times an hour.
Yeah,
kind of thing. So,
yeah.
That was funny. A hacking cough.
Yeah, no, that's. I think that's actually a really
hacking cough prayer.
Yeah, hacking cough prayer. You know, that sounds better than arrow prayer, maybe. But
I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, maybe not. But so, but just the idea of just like keeping that inner life in check, because I think it's really easy for us to focus on the outer behaviors first, and I understand that because it's tangible.
It's more measurable.
It's
perhaps.
Measurable. Yeah. But I love what you said. It's going to be impossible to. Well, here, what do you think about this? It will be impossible to sustain.
Yeah, and like yeah, because what I said earlier was, you can kind of pull yourself up by your own strength for a while,
for a little bit,
but you'll eventually fade.
Yeah, and so maybe a question for me, for all of us as we sit and we think through that is, if I'm not, you know, finding myself admonishing, encouraging, helping, being patient,
yeah,
you know, if I'm retaliating and not pursuing good,
yep.
If I'm struggling in those things, and or maybe I look back and say, man, I was doing that really, really well, mm-hmm. now I'm not, mm-hmm. it's probably a good warning sign indicator.
Yep.
There's something.
Indicator light. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good
going
phrase
off,
for it.
Yep. Yeah. Going off saying, hey, probably time to check your heart.
Yeah. Exactly.
Check on what's going on inside. So anyway, just great stuff. And imagine that 1 Thessalonians has got good stuff in it. I mean, I'm totally stunned. And so, but as we walk through just trying to make this practical, and like, how can, you know, somebody like actually experience victory at home? Mm-hmm. You gave just three simple ideas, but even though they're simple, a lot of weight to them. So walk us through that outline real quick, and then we'll see if there's anything we want to highlight a little bit more.
Yeah, so just really the outline came from about a week and a half ago. I sent an email out to several people that I considered to have won in one way or another.
Okay.
Because their kids are grown, or they have grandkids, and so they have the
gravitas.
Yeah. You know, it's not just like I'm asking a 25-year-old, I'm asking people in their 60s, you know.
Right.
And stuff like that. And just some themes came out. And so really what it came from them. And so I got to share a lot of that in the sermon as well. But just the three things that I chose. I mean, it's not the only steps for winning at home, but three
right.
of them was seeking wisdom, mastering the mundane, and then just, man, don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of wisdom came from, I don't think I said this in the sermon, but there is a verse in Proverbs chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
It says, this is the beginning of wisdom.
Get it.
Get wisdom.
Yeah.
It's like, once again, we overcomplicate it a lot. It's
yep.
like, and It was from the Tim Keller devotional, actually, and he said, he had this penetrating question, just how committed are you to getting wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's there, so go get it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think there's people, there are books, there are podcasts, there are trainings, there's sermons, there's, you know, all kinds of things we can go to
mm-hmm.
to get wisdom. And so a lot of what I shared was just wise counsel from people that have been where I have been
mm-hmm.
and raised kids or have grandkids or love their wives well through, mm-hmm. you know, four decades
right.
kind of thing. So that's where that came from. Just a lot of good stuff, you know, not just raising kids, but also like one from my dad, he said, my victory has a lot to do with my wife, her mm-hmm. skill made up for my deficiencies and
right.
vice versa. So focus your relationship on your spouse before your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's huge. We try to have a couple date nights a month,
right?
Just because we want to invest in that relationship. I know that one of the most important things I can do for my kids is to love my wife well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's some wisdom. Just all kinds of good stuff that was passed on. Like, don't play the comparison game. Focus on your generation moving forward. Kind of how you went from, you know, your parents. You don't want
right.
to compare yourself to somebody killing it next to you.
Correct.
It's like, look at what your parents gave you, and you move the generation forward. So
right.
don't judge yourself on some hero that has it all together. Like, move your generation, your family forward.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think that's a really good point, because it is easy to get discouraged, because, you know, you can look at your personal situation, your marriage, your kid situation, and you can compare it to a neighbor, a friend, somebody in your small group, you know,
yeah,
and just go, oh my gosh, how bad have we messed things up? But this goes back to that Scazzaro line, you know, Jesus in my heart, grandpa's in my bones. It's like, we are all trying to overcome generational sins that have happened even before our parents were a twinkle in our grandparents'
That's
eyes.
Right. Yep.
You know, it's stuff we have zero control over.
Yep.
And so it's looking back over your generations and going, okay, you know, let me go back to my great-great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. And how did they – it's like, are we doing better than that?
Yeah.
That's moving the ball down the field.
It is. And even to give some encouragement to those who might feel like they're not, I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of applies here. The bottom line was just, you win at home, not when you're successful,
right,
but when you're faithful. And so as you evaluate how you're moving the generational ball down the field, sometimes you are being incredibly faithful and something just isn't working.
Right.
I mean, proverb that says, teach a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That is a principle.
Yes.
Not a promise.
Yeah.
And so to our parents out there that are struggling because they feel like, man, I've been faithful, and what in the world is going on? Like, take heart.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you need to hear it's your faithfulness is what matters more than your quote unquote success.
Well, and I think this is a part of the wisdom, is knowing that what you see now isn't what's going to be.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And so there's still time. And, you know, even with that, you know, the proverb there, that I agree, it's a principle.
Yeah.
It's not a promise, but it is a principle that more often than not is true.
Sure.
And, you know, as a parent, you could be looking at your child, your adult child, your adult child that's having kids, you know, and you're just like, oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Where did we mess up? And it's like, well, you still don't know the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's encouraging. That's what's difficult.
Yeah.
It's encouraging because, like, time's not up. The buzzer hasn't gone off yet. Mm-hmm. There's 0.9 seconds still on the clock.
You know, time for a lot of dribbles.
There's a time for a lot of work to be done. So that's the encouragement. What's difficult, though, is that in the moment, it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. Doesn't mean the questions don't come.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is remain faithful. That's what is true success. Was I faithful to who God's called me to be, to the family that He's placed under my care?
Mm-hmm.
Have I been faithful? So I thought that was great.
Yeah, yeah. So lots of wisdom to be gathered. You know, we're all going to get some things right and to get some things wrong. But I think the big takeaway is just never stop learning.
Yeah.
I love this line that was shared a couple of weeks ago with me. He said, you know, people don't grow old. They stop learning, and that's when they're old. They stop growing, and that's when they're old.
Oh, okay.
You don't just grow old. You stop growing, and then you're old.
Yeah.
It's like the principle is just there's always something to
– Yeah.
Always something to do. Always something to learn.
Yeah, so. And in this day and age, I mean, with just the amount of information and things that are there at our fingertips, I would just throw this out there. It's not just the idea of learning, it's actually applying it.
Correct.
And that's where wisdom really starts to come to fruition is it's not just that I read 17 books on parenting. It's I'm actually going to take some of these things and put them into practice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, you know, unapplied truth is like paint.
Paint.
It's no good unless you put it on the wall.
Yep.
You know, if it's just sitting there in the can, does nothing. And so that's great. So master the mundane. Love that phrase. So just kind of walk us through that real quick again.
Well, yeah, the quote that really hit me is just, you know, your kids will probably remember vacations, but they're transformed by the mundane.
Mm-hmm.
And so another kind of turn of phrase I just kind of took with it is just, you know, you're transformed in the trenches of every day, day in, day out. And so whether it's kids or your spouse or your grandkids, like what are the rhythms that are practiced daily? But what could you be like, what could people have what could people name that you have done? So are mm-hmm. you caught reading your Bible? Are you caught praying? Are you caught praising people? You know, and the big one that has been the big one for a long time is just a family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so many positive correlations are found physically, emotionally, spiritually, all of it, mm-hmm. just sitting down as a family. So that's obviously a big challenge. But just the mundane day in, day out, whether it's going to bed on time or eating right or mm-hmm. praying or reading your Bible, those things are not the exciting moments of mm-hmm. taking my family to Disney or we went to the beach right. or we did this. Like, but that's where real transformation happens.
Yeah.
So I think disciplining yourself, I just heard this last night. It was an example somebody quoted from Craig Groeschel, actually. So kind of a hero for a lot of us, has influenced us in a lot of ways. But the story was told that when he was kind of in his early days of trying to be more disciplined,
mm-hmm.
he just started flossing.
Yeah.
Because it was like, that was the thing he didn't want to do.
Yep.
It was hard, but he did it.
Yep.
And often, I think maybe here's some practical advice when you're trying to just kind of increase your rhythms, the mundane kind of everyday. Don't try to eat the whole elephant. I think we said that recently.
Right.
Just get the ball rolling with one thing.
Yeah.
You're not going to accomplish. If you set out, like, I want to read my whole Bible in this month, that's probably not going to happen.
Right.
But
can you read a psalm? Can you read a proverb?
Yeah, get the ball rolling and then create, like, make habits in your life where you can say, I'm the type of person that mm-hmm. wakes up on time. I'm the type of person that reads my Bible. I'm the type of person that is patient, you know, whatever it is. So,
yeah, I haven't read it yet, but if anybody's like looking into those to just help with some of those ideas, Groeschel does have a new book coming out next. Well, let me see when this comes out on Tuesday, February 14th. And it's called The Power to Change.
Power to Change. Okay.
Yeah. Good. So it'll be a, I don't mean to, I'm not trying to belittle it, but it will be kind of like a Christian version of Atomic Habits what I'm gathering. Yeah,
probably. Yep.
So, yeah, the mundane. It's just the same old things. You know, not every day is a five-course meal. Some days, a lot of days, are just peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with Lay's potato chips.
Yep.
And it's learning to just be good at those things, the day-in, day-out stuff.
And I love this. You passed this on to me, just a habit that I think you do now based upon some advice others gave to you. So for our dads out there or our husbands out there, maybe here is just some practical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just text your family a verse from the scriptures. I think for you it's the Psalms,
mm-hmm.
but it could be anywhere you read.
Yeah.
And then a prayer based upon that verse.
Yeah.
And make that every day. You know? And for me, when I read that, I thought, well, that means you have to be reading the scriptures every day.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like killing two birds with one stone. Mm-hmm. You know, you're influencing your family, but you're also practicing rhythm for yourself.
So. Yeah. Because it forces a little bit more reflection. It's like, okay, not only did I read a psalm today, but it's like, okay, if I were to formulate a prayer for my wife and my kids today based off, and myself, based off of this, what would it be? And so it adds an extra, I mean, probably 5 minutes.
Yeah, but well worth it.
Worth the time. So,
and what are other thoughts would you add about just some of the mundane kind of rhythms that you have learned in the past 5 years or so? You're always learning. So, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I think that you hit them. It is the reason why you come to church and you hear so often, what do I need to be doing to, you know, be growing spiritually? It's like, well, you need to read your Bible, you need to pray, you need to go to church, you need to give, you need to serve. I mean, it's just like the reason those are the basic answers is because those are the basics. And I think sometimes we're like, well, there's got to be like some other sort of secret sauce out there. And of course, there are deeper levels to it.
Sure.
But the reason why those Sunday school answers are Sunday school answers because they're true.
Well, and so sports analogy again, basketball.
Yeah.
What did you do every single basketball practice? You shot free throws.
Yeah, you'd shoot free throws.
Every single practice.
Yeah, you'd shoot game shots. You know, it's like you would run through the offense even though you would run through it however many times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just what you do. It's getting the fundamentals right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times I mean, if we want to use our vocabulary here, the lot of the times why we're not winning is we don't have our fundamentals down.
Yep. Yep.
And so we want to spend our time using basketball language, practicing trick shots and dunks and, doing the silly things when it's like, no, what you really need to do, you need to learn to be able to shoot a left-handed layup. That's what you need to do.
Exactly.
And that's where victory will flow from. So, then the last one was just a great encouragement, Josh, just, don't give up.
Yeah. I loved that. That came from, once again, just more advice when the email went out a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the line that hit me was just, sometimes winning is just surviving.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And man, that's huge because it's true. There's a lot of hardship that we mm-hmm. face. And once again, kind of like the church in Thessalonica, they were literally being persecuted for the faith.
Right.
But in your home, there are going to be difficulties inside of it, and there are going to be difficulties outside of it. And I think if you can flip that script and just say, man, we're going through something right now, but we're here at church.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Or kind of what we talked about too is, what's more shame inducing, reaching out for counseling or having to announce that you're getting a divorce.
Right.
Because you forewent counseling.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm embarrassed to tell somebody I went to counseling. It's like, bro, how embarrassed are you going to be whenever you've got to tell your friends that your marriage is ending?
Yeah. And so just to flip that to say, man, you're not alone if you're in a season of winter right now.
Yeah.
Just don't give up for yourself, for your kids, for the generations here at Corinth. And it could be anything. It could be a prodigal child or tension in the marriage or unpaid bills. Well, like I said, things from outside or things from inside, but just hang on. And so hear our heart. Just, man, hang on.
Yeah,
you can do it. You can do it, and you have support. So reach out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus's 100% money back guarantee.
Yeah.
But he says, "But take heart, for I have overcome the world."
Yep.
And so it's like, don't be surprised whenever these things happen. Peter talks about that. Don't be surprised whenever you're experiencing these fiery trials and ordeals that you're going through. It's going to come. And so it is, I love that. We just have to figure out how to survive.
Yeah.
And if that means getting the help that we need, to survive, then we do that. If it means that we have to, lower ourselves and ask for XYZ, then that's what we do.
Yeah.
Because it's worth it to be able to keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And, because like for me, I love the proverb, and I can't remember chapter and verse. But it's like, though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the mindset, that's the mentality that victorious people have.
Yep.
And I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It's like, how do you handle a bad day at work? And I told them, I was like, I understand that another day is coming.
Uh huh.
So like in our world, it's Sundays.
Sundays, yep.
A lot of Sundays I go home and it's like, why am I doing this? I should go work, somewhere else. Yep. And, I don't understand what's going on. There's other Sundays. It's like, that's pretty good, think I converted myself. But the point is on that Monday, it's like, okay, let's look back. What happened this weekend? What can I learn from it?
Mm-hmm.
But now there's another Sunday coming. And so, it's, you don't get too high, you don't get too low. And it's just, it's that persistence. It's that drive of just like, there's another one coming. And so, it's on to the next day after this day.
Yep.
And I think that's just part of that resilient, that grit, that determination,
yep.
That looks at the obstacle and saying, you know what, this is what we've got. We're going to work through this right now. And, I think in fact, it was just this morning that I was sharing this with my family. Psalm 46 is where I was.
Okay.
And it's God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. So let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surged. And so it's just like, whenever we're anchored in who God is, his love for us, our identity, we can know know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's ready to help in those difficult times. And so whenever you know that, that's what allows you to face a difficult situation and just kind of look at it and go, bring it on, man. Just bring it on.
And I love, so I love Psalm 46. I believe it's verse 10 that most people kind of crochet on the pillow. Be still and know that I am God.
Yes.
And what was pointed out recently, it's like, that's not in the midst of the quiet meadows drinking water in the green pastures. This is hurricane, earthquakes, volcanoes erupting. And it's just, God's like, be still.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and I love that too, because he's like, I'm going to, I think he says, I'm going to break the bow and crush the spear.
Yeah, there's a promise. He's healing in them.
Yeah, I'm taking care of these things. I'm going to remove these things. So be still, be know. Yeah. I'm still in control, and I'm still God. And I think that's where our grit ultimately comes from. It doesn't come from this outer toughness, this outer I've got this. It comes from just this incredible inner life that is just secure, reminding ourselves day after day of who we are, who He is.
Yeah, and that's. To jump ahead a little bit, that's how the conclusion happened yesterday in the sermon, was just jumping down to, after all this advice for how to win in the home, inner life, outer life, the conclusion of this letter, and really this section of the letter, verse 23, I'm just reading now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, of course there are things we do to participate in winning at home.
Yeah. But
ultimately, we have a God who is sanctifying us because of his goodness and his grace, and we're not on our own.
No. Yeah. If this was all left up to you, you should be way more nervous than you are.
Yep.
And so thanks be to God, it's not. And so the challenge yesterday was just, so choose one thing to help you win at home. And I think that's about as straightforward as we need to be, man.
Yeah.
What's it going to be for you? What are you going to do? Is it like, maybe it's the flossing idea of like the simplest thing I need to do is like, I can't start doing anything till I'm reading my Bible every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm going to make sure that I'm setting aside 5 minutes to read my Bible every day. One chapter that, maybe it's one text message a day, to your wife of just telling her how much you love her or that you're praying for her, or maybe it's to the entire family, but choose one thing. Maybe it's a book, maybe it's a podcast, maybe anyway.
Yeah. And as I was thinking just this morning too, thinking about just the kind of the verbiage, I guess, of winning in sports, I just put this like, don't rewrite the whole playbook.
Right.
Just write one play. Just run one play. That's all you got to do. Just run one new play this week.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to run 10 new plays. Just do one. Just do one. It could be 15 minutes or less.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Just pick one thing.
One play and run it.
Yeah. I'm going with it. You know, it could be 4 meals at the table. 3. Shoot.
Yeah.
If you're not doing any, do one.
Yep.
And, just start from there. Yep. So. Great stuff, Josh. Great stuff. And so I hope that the message is helpful, has been helpful to all of you and to all of us, and that we'll be putting these things into action as we look to win at home. Winning in these areas of life that matter most. So,
yeah, next week is what? Winning?
How to win with God.
With God.
Which is a really weird statement. And so
it
should be some fun to kind of explore. So.
So you might go maybe a little deeper into some of those inner rhythms and things like that.
Yeah, possibly. Those things. Yeah, that's part of it. But also, too, I don't want to spoil too much, but I'm actually.
Come back to find out.
But no, there's part of me that's actually kind of wrestling with this and just going, you know what? If you really want to win, you got to lose in this one.
Exactly.
And so that may end up being the angle that we run with. So. So, all right. So here we go. We're going to end up today with just a lightning round.
All okay. Right.
So these are don't have to think about these very much or anything like that. And so some of these are either ors and those things. So we just want to hear from you, Josh. And
it's just me. I guess you have the questions.
Well, I've got the questions. So
I'm not going to be surprised. Okay, cool.
All right, so you ready? We're going to do these just rapid fire.
All right.
All right.
Give it my best shot.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
Let's go. Texting or talking?
Texting.
Favorite day of the week?
Ooh, it's Friday.
Friday? Okay. Favorite holiday?
Thanksgiving.
How long does it take you to get ready?
10 minutes.
Scale of 1 to 10, how good of a driver you are?
9.
Nice. Invisibility or super strength?
Super strength. Invisibility, okay, this is kind of a thing for me. I think if you choose invisibility, there is so much of a just a creeper, like, that
okay.
can be creepy.
Okay.
So super strength.
Okay. All right. First celebrity crush?
Oh, I don't even know. Probably Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
I don't know.
That makes sense. Favorite junk food?
Salty and sweet mixed.
Okay. Cake or pie?
Pie.
Pie. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Chocolate chip cookie dough.
If Voldemort offered you a hug, would you accept it?
Is Voldemort in Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what I should do here because I don't know. I'm not familiar with Harry Potter, not because I disagree with it or anything like that. I just never watched or read. So.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Is double dipping at a party ever acceptable?
No.
No.
Okay.
Big dog or small dog?
Big.
How many hours of sleep do you need?
Ooh, 8.
8?
I don't get that right now. I need to be better. So
okay.
There's my rhythm. I need to get back.
There we go. Scale of 1 to 10, how good are you at wiffle ball?
5.
5?
I'm not good at all.
Okay. Would you rather give or get a present?
Give.
And let's see here. Let's figure out. Oh, wow. No, I'm not doing. I would love to do that one, but I'm not going to do that one because I don't want any of us to get in trouble. Let's see here. All right. No, we already know the answer to that one. So here we go. So when people stand up for a standing ovation, are you early to rise or last to rise?
I'm usually towards the end.
Towards the end?
I think the standing O has been overdone.
I agree.
Yeah. So I'm usually slow to rise.
Yeah. State of the Union was just this past week, and it's just like, you know, I had mint chocolate chip ice cream today. Standing ovation.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, it's just like, I believe that, you know, it's just like, oh my gosh, it's just overdone, overdone, overdone.
Yep.
All right, last one. Kevin Durant to the Suns happened last night.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm out of this loop.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the Suns
Phoenix
now.
It's looking nice then.
Yes. Yeah, so
man.
Does Phoenix win the finals this year?
Oh, I kind of hope so.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's go Suns. I mean, they've been good. I feel like they have a fun fan base. Of course,
mm-hmm.
my family lives there too.
Yep.
So I'd like to see them win. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, hey, this has been fun. This has been a two-man game.
Two-man.
So
yeah.
Pick and roll and give and go
yep.
and
yep.
all those things. So we want to say thanks to all of y'all for listening to us today and for episode 26. They said it wouldn't last, and here we are, 26 in, and still having a ball and looking forward to seeing y'all on Sunday for part 3. Of how to win. So blessings on your head. Have an incredible week, and we'll see you soon.